Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to say a few things before we let the kids go. You know, and I think to understand where we're at, I was speaking with one of my best friends last night. He lives in Boston, Andover, which is a suburb of Boston, and we were laughing about different things, and I was telling him some stories. I tell him, you know, stories that I've experienced and everything. And he says, you know, you could write a book about weird stuff that happens and just stuff, you know. I think we need to understand what kind of people we are. I think this is extreme revelation for all of us this morning to understand the kind of breed that we are. We're different. We are a different breed of people. You know, Jesus wasn't attacked until the anointing came upon him, until the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then the attacks came. The temptation came. You know? And we're not here to compare people because the Bible says he who compares is not wise, right? Okay? Because there are things Andrew can do that, man, I can't do. I can't compare myself to him because he's got different talents and abilities than I do, or Carol has different ability. So no matter whether we're a person or entities or whatever it is, but we are an entity that thinks that God is good all the time. He is full of unconditional love. We get outside of these four walls, there are churches, and most of the church world thinks that God kills people. He is putting sickness and disease on people to teach them a lesson. See, if the devil can knock us off, the rest of the church world will be of no effect. They'll be doing nice things, because what's happening is the mentality and the understanding of most of the church world is that God kills people. He does things to teach us a lesson. If he can get that into our heads, then he's got us defeated, because we won't approach God. We'll never walk anything out. Right? We'll never approach God, and we'll never do anything. We'll never, you know, believe for anything, because, you know, why would you approach somebody that you think is mad at you all the time, right? You know, and the reason why Jesus did so many things, he was the Son of God, but the main thing is his relationship with the Father was impeccable. They were one. You know? Here's me, here's the Father, you know, right? Every single thing Jesus did, the Father, the Holy Spirit was with him. They were one. They were inseparable. Why? Because of a relationship. An understanding that the Father had Jesus' back no matter what he did, where he went. That is not the church of today. And you cannot believe the persecution that we face because we say things like God is good all the time. He doesn't kill people. We've had people mad at us for saying those kind of things. And it's Bible. I mean, my kids stand up in school and say these things, and they get persecuted for it. Berated, and, you know, stripped in front of everybody. And so, there is persecution out there. And so, there is something here that, you know, if you have any kind of spiritual sense at all, there is an attack on things. We're going to overcome that because we're back for the attack, right? And we don't persecute people because they believe different from us, because we love them, because maybe they haven't seen things, right? But we're not against people, you know? And I don't ever come against people because maybe they don't believe exactly like... You know. There was a time I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to be. I didn't understand. It was just because I didn't understand. There wasn't something that I could... I wasn't at that place, right? But I wanted to be. And it's like anything else, people who are in the world, you know, that come against Christians and everything, they come against Christians because they haven't met Jesus yet. I mean, that's it. They just haven't come in contact with the Holy Ghost. But if we believe God, dare to believe him of those things, you know, right? So again, if you understand where you're at, you know, let me just say something too. Jesus, you know, we always think of the Bible, Jesus went places and he just, you know, people just, you know. Did you know that when persecution came, there were times when he fled and he left? Why would Jesus leave? Because he was led by the Holy Spirit. There were times when the Holy Spirit told him to do things that don't make... Why didn't Jesus just stand up and rebuke him and, you know, like the sons of thunder, you know? Call down fire from heaven and just consume everything? Because that wasn't the plan. It doesn't make sense sometimes, right? And I like what he was saying, because, you know, when we live the Christian life, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything Jesus did in this life on this earth, there were bumps in the road, but he overcame them. Like we were talking this morning in prayer, you know, when Goliath stood before David, it was an obstacle, but his destiny was on the other side of the obstacle, right? And the thing that we could get involved in, and the thing that we could go to is, number one, we could get into, you know, no matter what it is in life, why God, why? And it's just, we just embrace it. You know, Jesus embraced the cross. He embraced the persecution. He embraced those things that came against him. And it says there in Hebrews 12:2, that he despised the shame. Why? Because he saw us on the other side. And again, religion wants to always wants to try to figure everything out. Like, oh, why did this happen? Why did this happen? It doesn't matter. What? Who cares? Right? I was talking to my friend last night. We were just talking about different things. I said, you know, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, gee, I step on the other side and I'm face to face with Jesus. Right? We have an eternal perspective. It's just wonderful. I mean, it doesn't matter what. There's no loser in the kingdom of God, right? If you're here and you're blessed, great. If you step on the other side, you're blessed, great. There's no downfall. None. Just want to make sure my life insurance is stocked. No, I don't plan on doing anything wrong. I don't plan on stepping on the others. But that's my point, is this. It's all good, and we're going to enjoy the journey, right? We want to grow. We want to develop. And we want to see God do things amazing in your life. We'll let the little people go, and we will go with the micro kids, the many people. I forgot. Yeah, that's right, today. Luke 18:27. I am all way off today. I just have this scripture, and I don't know where I'm going, and we're going to go with it, and you and I are on a journey, and I don't know where I'm going, so that's okay. I don't know. I just kind of get those things, so... And the key is, in this life, no matter what happens to you, always love God. You know, if you have the revelation that God is good all the time, and no matter what, man, it's just going to be, it doesn't matter what happens. But when you start getting off track and start blaming God for things and this and that, you know, a lot of religious people, they think God is trying to help the devil do bad things. Like, the devil is not doing a good enough job being bad, but God's got to come in and help him out, you know. We'll put a little sickness on people. Are you kidding me? Right? I mean, we wouldn't think about that. It's like the Super Bowl, you know? What happens if one of the other teams help the other team out? I mean, can you imagine that, you know? Your favorite team, you know, put on a jersey and walk on the other side. That doesn't make sense in the natural. Hello? Verse 27, Jesus, this is red letters, so we can take it to the bank. It says this: the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Impossible with men are possible with God, right? We still serve the God of the impossible. What did the angel tell Mary there? All things are possible to those that believe, right? All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. First John. Mm-hmm. First John. 5:14. And I think too, you know, in those times where you don't understand things, just, you know what, God understands it, and I'm just gonna connect with Him. That's it. He knows what's going on. I remember the tough times, like you know, going to Raymond. I was like, "Oh, are you kidding me? Like, I want to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, I want to live in a third world country. Come on." I was in California visiting some family years ago, and one of the young guys was like, "You guys have running water? And you guys have electricity in Iowa? Yeah, we even got indoor toilets too." It's like, really? It's not what I want to hear. That's the life of faith with God. It's always not what we want to hear. You know, we always talk about Abraham, about being this person of faith. It took him 20 years before he got on board with God, right? And it took him changing his name from Abram to Abraham for him to get the revelation. You know, we always think that Abraham's this great father of faith, and he is our father of faith, right? And we always want to pick fun at people like Peter and everything else, but it's always easy to sit back and, you know, be an armchair quarterback when we're Cadillacing through the Bible about all these people. But Abram did not receive the promise. I mean, he's trying to do things in himself, in his flesh, and his wife's telling him things to do which were not good, and he did a lot of dumb things, right? But he finally connected with God, and he asked him to do things that were very uncomfortable. I always like to know this. I know that if everything's happening the way that I planned, then God's not involved in it at some point, right? You know, if my Christmas list is being checked off all the time and everything just wonderful, great, I'm probably missing something, because God never does things of my understanding. Why? Because he requires dependence. Faith is dependence, right? And I think sometimes we misunderstand the term faith for as many scriptures as we can memorize, and that's not it at all. It's dependence. It's, I'm a child, Father God is Daddy, I got to lean on Him. It's dependence. Any kind of faith walk at all, it's going to be rocky at times. You're not going to have it figured out. It's just never going to happen that way. Because if you got everything figured out, then you're probably not walking in faith. Because God's always going to ask you to do things that you don't, doesn't make sense. Like the Bible says, give and it'll be given. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The world system is invest, save, you know, cheat people, do whatever it takes to get what you need. Right? Just studying my Bible last night, there in Luke, Jesus talking about love those who persecute you. That doesn't make any sense at all. I'm sorry, but you know, really? Are you sure about that? Is there a typo? Is this an NIV version I'm reading? Is there something missing here? I'm kidding. Is this the Message Bible? I thought I saw a dude in there somewhere. No. 5:14. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Confidence. It's a person, right? Confidence in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We can have confidence that He hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know. We know. Now this is what we call the prayer of faith, also in Mark 11, 22 through 26. But we can have confidence towards him, can't we? You know, years ago, I didn't have this revelation. I always just thought that God was somebody that, you know, years ago, I was assembling God church, and then there's this lady, and she did youth for a little while. You know, she looked like she just stepped out of the 60s, you know, little lady and everything else, too. And like I said this before, but she's talking about having experiences with angels, and angel came and visited and touched her and was talking with her. I'm like flipping out. Whoa. You know, and she's talking about spend all this time in prayer. And I thought just the people who spend time in prayer, you know, they're having those experiences. And again, you know, again, when you do connect with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have more experiences like that because you spend time with Him. But my idea was works mentality. That if I do this, then this will happen. And again, you need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time in prayer. That's not it. But the more... it's the relationship. Because the Pharisees had it all figured out in works mentality, right? Well, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you do this, and then Jesus shows up and messes their little plan up and says that, no, it's about relationship. Because back then, it was you couldn't even say the term Yahweh. And again, they left the vowel out because it was so holy. Here he's saying, Jesus is showing up and saying, he's actually my daddy, and they're flipping out. How dare you? I mean, you can't even say that name, and now you're vulgar in saying that he's your father. And look what Jesus produced, and look what they produced. So I'm going with Jesus, not the Pharisees, right? Mark 11. We do serve an amazing God. And you know, the thing of it is, when we do experience religious people, it's because, you know, that's all they've been taught. Sometimes they don't know any better. They don't understand things. They've never had a connection with God. They've never seen anybody healed. And again, we're not judging people because they're only dealing with what they have revelation of. Like, for example, the book of Revelation, we see John talking about things spinning in the air. It looks like a scorpion. Again, he's only using the terminology that he has. Maybe he's seeing helicopters. I don't know, right? So when you've got people that have not experienced or seen anything, they're only reacting and using their own experiences they've had in the past. And that's okay. And we're going to pray for those people. And man, we want to see those people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We want to see people healed. We want to see these things happening. Verse 22, have faith in God. I like this. This Jesus, the King James, in the middle, it says, have the faith of God. You know, this is what's going to flip people out. We can actually have the faith of God. Or let's just say it another way. We can have God's confidence. And I don't want, and I so appreciate other people, but you know, and sometimes people have been discouraged because of the word of faith, they put it into formula. You got to say this so much, you got to do this so much, now there's a meditating in the word and there's an absorption, right? But he's always asked me to do things often that are, you know, outside a little formula. Like, God likes to climb out of the box sometimes. Right? And he'll you know, ever put like a bug or something in a box or a jar and then they come out, you know, or like a cat or a kitten in a box and then, whoop, they jump out. That's the way God is. I probably put him in my box. He's like, nope, I'm not staying there. Nope. Now, the context of this scripture here is really interesting because this. The context of this scripture is talking about Jesus went by and cursed what? The fig tree. Did the fig tree die immediately? Yeah, it did, but we didn't see the results of it yet, right? Because anything Jesus says, it happens, right? Because he actually has faith in his words. He actually has faith that when I say something, it's going to happen, right? And we, you know, myself included, we've been so cynical and jokey and everything that when we say something, we really don't, you know. But Jesus, everything he said, he believed it. Well, the next day, they came back the same way. And what do they do? Because they're looking at that fig tree. Because they're wanting to see if something happened. And it's starting to die, right? Yeah, because they're checking it out. And then Jesus goes into this. Have faith. Now, when Jesus said that and spoke to the fig tree, nothing happened. You ever had that in your life too, where you think you're believing for God and you don't see anything happening yet? This is really good stuff. I know. Thank you. It really is. What a blessing. I know. See, and God's working on things behind the scene, and we can't even see things that are happening. Jesus didn't go, you know, the cool thing, Jesus is so cool. He didn't speak to it and then go, oh, get nervous about it, you know. Die, die, die. Die, 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 die. No, he didn't. He said it once, and he walked away. Why? Because there's confidence in what he did say and the things he spoke. And then he comes back to this. He says, you know what? Have the faith of God. Have faith in God. But see, sometimes with the word of faith, and people have twisted things around, where instead of having faith in God, they've got faith in their faith. Meaning, faith in their ability to quote scripture, their ability to do things. You know, well, I've quoted the scripture, blah, blah, blah. I've done this and I've done this. And I love, you know, listening to Jesse Duplantis, and I love it because he just talks to the Lord, you know, has conversations with him. And I think that's a key element. You know, Brother Hagin had so many great things to say. And I think the biggest nuggets for me personally was when he was talking, was when he was on the road traveling and ministering, and a preacher, they were all talking. And he said, that Brother Hagin, he's just funny. He's just like he's talking to somebody in the room. Like there's somebody in there. And there's nobody in there with him. I don't know who he's talking to. We'll just have a conversation with the Lord, you know? And again, we're focused on the formulas, right? Well, I've done it before. I've read this Mark 11, 22 through 26 probably hundreds of times, you know? And there's definitely benefits for it. And I remember listening to Brother Hagin over and over and over again. Oh, let's open your Bibles, Mark 11th chapter. We'll start in the 22nd verse. I'm like, oh, Lord, here it goes again. But, you know, I was so excited because he brings something new out all the time. You know, it was amazing. And then the next day, open your Bibles. I know. Mark 11, 20. Yeah, I know. And it always had some new revelation on it. I remember being in Spiritology, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. And he wouldn't even get that. There was a couple of guys next to me. He wouldn't even get that scripture out of his mouth, and then have a couple of guys sitting next to me going, they're already asleep. It's just crazy. I mean, here's Brother Hagin teaching, and it's on logs. I can't. But it wasn't the scripture, just that quoting it. It was who's behind this word. The word is a way to God. Don't believe me? Okay. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We are here to contend for the things of God. We don't apologize for it at all. here to combat religion in a loving way. You know, say anything else. We have people who lay hands on their heel. You know, how do you argue that? Hey, my leg just grew. Well, I don't believe. Well, here it is. It wasn't there before, right? Right? Had people I prayed for, they're on their deathbed. Boom, they're gone. I mean, they're up. 2 days later, doctors are wigging out about it. Prayed for, you know, different people. We've been healed. God just supernaturally healed people. Well, how about it? Well, that's why the Pharisees hated Jesus so much, is because they did things that shut him up they couldn't respond to, right? You got 10 lepers. All of them are clean. One of them comes back, thanks Jesus, and he's completely restored. How do you know? I can just imagine there's missing fingers, right? Maybe a nose gone, and maybe an ear or something. And he comes back and he's completely restored. One guy. How do you do that? You can't. God will do things that we just can't argue. I mean, there is no rebuttal against that. You know, the cool thing is he shows up and shows off. Right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. This is God. The Word is Jesus. They're talking about entities here. Let's go to 14. And the Word was made flesh, which is Jesus became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten, the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. We gotta realize, guys, this is a story, and there are a lot of things in here, but this word right here is simply an expression of a person. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God behind the Bible. We don't worship his power and anointing. We worship him. And those things come with him. I mean, think about it. When God shows up, I don't need to pray for peace. I mean, I don't need to pray for these things. I just say, you know, God, show up, manifest yourself. When he shows up, manifest himself, those things come with him. I like how John said there, and he baptized with water, but Jesus was baptized with Holy Ghost and fire, right? Yeah, really, you know, we get in. Everybody in a red, like Leviticus, man, that is just like, right? You know, got to kill this turtle dove, and you got to do this, 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 and you got to do this. And you know, the great thing about that is, there's no way we can keep up with all that stuff, right? I mean, can you imagine that? Nowadays, you have to show up and, Pastor, I got 2 turtle doves here. And not only would PETA be screaming their head off at us, but, an ARL would be up here screaming and everything else too. But can you imagine? The law and all that stuff just shows us that we can't do this, guys. We just can't do it, you know? No matter how many animals we bring, no matter what happens in the Old Testament, we just can't do it. There's Jesus. And again, much of the church has locked him into, he's the guy that saves me from hell. And that's it. That's just the beginning. I said it before and I said it again. You know, the church I've been in before, I mean, that was, you're done. You know, when you're saved, it's like, oh, you made it, glory, okay. That's the starting line. Instead of having this relationship with him that he just is there with you all the time. And he, you know, I'll be in my car. I'll be somewhere else just talking to the Lord, you know. Sometimes they don't go, who are you talking to? Just praying, just meditate, right? The world think you're crazy, right? but they have spiritual guides and all this other stuff, and that's okay, right? And aliens and all kinds of other stuff they believe in. But Ephesians 3, we'll wrap this up here in just a minute. Ephesians 3, glory to God. 3:18. Actually, we'll say 16, starting 16. 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Here we go. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. Faith and love cannot be separated. And again, when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, the only thing that comes out of it is love. Compassion for people. You know, I remember listening to some brother, he talked about it, and I remember listening to, you know, certain ministers during the healing revival in the 40s and the 50s. Early 60s, and you know, some people would have healing, and then they give an offering right after that to get money or to use things, the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Holy Spirit's for. Those things are not for that. It's to bring glory to God. And then verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be able to fill all of the fullness of God. I think it's interesting here, and then right after that, we'll read this scripture here in just a moment. But you know, it's so important that Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us the importance of having the revelation of the love of God in conjunction with faith. And in the very next scripture, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. God, the Zoe life working in us, working in and through us. But it's fed through having the revelation of his love for us. If something goes bad, and what religion and people want to resort to, well, God's mad at me. Teach me a lesson. Right? No, your car broke down. Probably just means your alternator went out, right? Maybe God's not punishing you, right? Well, God's here to teach me a lesson. Now, you probably should have filled up when your gas tank was on E. That's probably it. Not that God's trying to teach a lesson. It's just, hello. That reminds me, I need to fill up the gas too later. So, right? But our flesh and religion and the devil and everybody else always wants to take this thing to the negative, right? Always wants to take it to the negative. Something happens, well, God's teaching a lesson. God doesn't love you. Everything's going awful, terrible, blah, 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 blah. No, my Bible says right here that my job is just to understand the vastness of his love for me. You know, if somebody loves you and they really do care for you and you understand that, guess what? Their money's yours. Their time is yours. You have their ear. They're there for you. They're there to help all the time. And because of that revelation, then we see verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is good. Sometimes situations are bad. And sometimes people think that bad situations are good and God is bad. I don't like religion at all, if you can't tell. I don't like it. I've been around too many people. They've been steeped in it. They're bound by it. You should hear the people like that. Some people that I'm around work, or even, you know, people that are, you know, in other churches, everything. Well, I was just sick all the time, and man, I'm just sick all. Oh, we were just terrible. Oh, I've been on medication. Oh, it's been awful, terrible, awful, awful, awful.
Oh, praise the devil and all of his sicknesses. Hallowed be his name.
No thanks. Nope. Nope. I think the last year, about a week or so ago, I went home just a few hours early and said, you know what, I just need to relax. You know, I mean, I wasn't sick or anything. I just need to go home, relax. I was just kind of getting worn out. I hadn't been sleeping very good. I don't want that junk. You know, the great thing is it's easy for me to receive healing from God when I know that he doesn't want me to be sick. And I have the revelation that he is, by his stripes I am healed. I know that's hard for some people to imagine. But when I have that understanding of those things, then it's all about his goodness. Ugh. Said it before and said it again. I remember just watching Oral Roberts all the time. It was saying, something's good going to happen to you today, and God is good. And oh, he'd receive hate mail and all kinds of other things. And you know what? We just love them people anyway. You know what? We love you. It's all right. You don't know any better. We love you. God loves you. And those people that come and persecuted, you know, my family, we love those people. They're great people. Amazing people. We love them. It's like anything else, you know, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong, and that's okay, right? Because there's no greater thing that I love to see those people, you know, be able to receive their healing or to be able to receive things and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you what, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you start rattling off in tongues, your theology is just out the window. I mean, whatever you thought in the past is gone. It's all brand new, right? And it's all good. Hallelujah. Well, I am kind of preaching myself happy right now, and I don't know what to do now, right? But it's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I see good things ahead for you. Amen? And, you know, Jesus said, fight the good fight of faith. Anything that you're, you know, in life worth doing, whether that's sports or anything in life, you know, we can look at sports and know that it is a challenge and it is a struggle and you've got to compete. And then when it comes to the devil, you know, we lay down sometimes. I don't understand that. And if something does happen, well, I don't know, maybe it's just all God's will. No, stand up and fight. Because the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? Thoughts. I'll tell you right now, a lot of the fight of faith is the mental realm. When Jesus came and he was on the earth and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil didn't come along and say, boogity boogity, I'm the devil, I'm going to hit you upside the head right now. No, he came with thoughts. Well, if you were the Son of God, if you were this, if you were this, if you were really a Christian, you would. Now, you call yourself a Christian and blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. Right? Because number one, he loves us. He wants good things for us, unlike religion. He came to set us free. Every other religion expects us to do works to make ourselves pure and holy. And Jesus came to set us free. God himself came down himself to redeem us. And religion says, you got to do it yourself. And God knew that we couldn't do it. But his love endures forever. Amen. And he has came and he has knocked the teeth out of the devil. And the devil, all he does is lie to you. He's like I remember Mark Hankins talking one time. He used to deliver papers on a horseback. And he said he would deliver these papers. And there's this dog, great big dog bark and everything, you know. And he says, one time, I mean, that lady wanted her paper on her porch. She had this fence. I tried to sneak in. I think his name was Butch. And he'd run up there and just almost grab it. And then so he'd done that for a long time. And this lady was outside one time. And he says, you know, I'm just so scared. Your dog, it's just, and she goes, oh, honey, Butch is so old. He lost his teeth years ago. So he says, the next day I walked up, I just kind of walked up to the porch. and I just swat the old dog on the head and then toss it on the porch, right? And that's where the devil is. He's all bark and no bite. He has no authority anymore. The Bible says that Jesus has made a show of him openly. He has paraded him around in his Loserville. He's got the dunce hat on, and he's walking around, and he's showing everybody how the devil does. And so every time the devil comes to you to lie about something, just say, you know what? It's a lie. It's a lie. And he gets really scared the more he tries to put pressure on you, especially when more and more pressure comes, because he's getting scared something's going to happen. In my life, we walk with God, the more the pressure comes, the more there's a breakthrough. Nobody is guarding dump sites. Nobody wants to get in the garbage heap, okay? They are guarding the good stuff. Fort Knox, there's guards there. Hello? Anytime you feel immense pressure and there's pressure coming on you from the enemy, you can just guarantee and shout and dance and get happy because there is something. Hello? But instead, we want to recoil and get upset and depressed and everything else. I don't remember Jesus, you know, getting depressed at all. Ever. You know, I don't remember seeing any photos or reading any or you know any paintings. I guess they didn't have photos back then, right? But you know, hey, I'm friends on Facebook with Jesus, so you know what? And I've got his Twitter account, and I know exactly. Okay, so. But I don't remember reading anything in the Bible where the disciples were trying to pump him up, you know. Oh, Jesus, it's going to be okay. Come on, you can get out of bed today. It's going to be all right. Come on, sunshine. Father, we just come before you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this exciting new journey that we have as a church, as a family. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you that you're a blessing. And I just pray over these people right now in the name of Jesus for breakthrough this year. Financial breakthrough, relationships in the name of Jesus, restoration in the name of Jesus, joy, peace, new depth with you this year, Holy Spirit. The supernatural flowing through them. A word of encouragement for other people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You're good this morning, Lord. So the Bible says, we pray for those who persecute us. We love those people. Thank you, Jesus. We always want to open up for prayer this morning. If you need prayer for anything, we always want to pray with you. Two or more gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm in the midst of them. Glory to God. Tag team is not just for professional wrestlers, but it's for spirit-filled Christians to go after the devil. Hallelujah. Who needs Hulk Hogan when you got Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Rowdy Roddy Piper, we've got Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We will be in contact with everybody, kind of a game plan going forward on the church and what we're going to be doing. And so if you all see any amazing facilities that we should know about, give us a text, give us a shout. Amen. So. Praise the Lord. We'll see you Friday night.